840-1360-97.5 WTAQ News. Talk. Sports. I have two follow-ups. Well, let me put this another way. I have a follow-up to two stories that have been big local stories this week. That would be the clearing of Officer Derek Wicklund of any wrongdoing and the vote against Walmart. Let's start with the second one first. I guess that really makes it the first, doesn't it? If we're starting with it, then I guess it is the first, even though I said it was the second one. Oh, shut up, Jerry. Let's start with the Walmart story. There is a story that has been brewing behind, well, not behind the scenes, maybe beneath the surface is a better metaphor. Something that happened during the long debate that went into early yesterday morning and, of course, ended with a 6-5 council rejection of the required changes to allow Walmart to proceed with the downtown store in the Larson Green area. You will note the vote was 6-5, meaning somebody didn't vote. It had been widely reported that Alderman Joe Moore was, in fact, going to abstain due to a conflict of interest. Why Moore abstained was percolating, but never quite fully erupted, although Andy Nicholson and Guy Zima tried to get that to happen Tuesday night into Wednesday morning. Now, this is very interesting because I, in fact, reported why Moore was abstaining. And our newsroom reported it, and none of the other media picked up on it, and they kept saying Moore wouldn't say why. He did say to us, and they wouldn't re-report it. Joe Moore is a commercial contracting manager for Menards. Menards provides supplies and other services to ML Construction, which would have been part of the construction of any Walmart store. This gets very complicated. I had about a 10-15 minute conversation with Joe Moore in the last half hour. The inferences, or I should say the implications being made, the implications being made by Andy Nicholson, Guy Zima, on the floor of the council Tuesday night, was that there was political pressure put on Joe Moore to abstain when there really wasn't any reason for him to abstain. Obviously, Andy and Guy would think that that pressure came from Jim Schmidt. Joe Moore tells me that is not the case. First, let's examine whether this even would have been a big deal. Okay. The vote was 6-5. If Joe votes, it's 6-6. What does that mean? It means Jim Schmidt, who adamantly opposes this project, has one of two options. He lets it die on a 6-6 tie, or he has the option of actually voting against it, which it appears he would have done. It also appears, contrary to what some had believed for some time, had it passed 7-5, he would have vetoed it. And it's unfortunate that we'll never see the spectacle of Jim Schmidt vetoing a major economic development for downtown Green Bay. So, given the fact that even with Joe Moore, the pro-Walmart team didn't have the votes, all that you lost with Moore not voting was putting Jim Schmidt on something of a political hot seat. That's really what you had. Because then that could have been used against him potentially politically down the road. Joe Moore was actually approached by his employer, Menards, saying, you know, I don't want to misquote Joe here. They weren't going to tell him what to do, but he'd be out there hanging alone if he voted. And it came back to bite him in the butt. Also, Joe did hear from an attorney at the League, assistant attorney at the League of Municipalities, Daniel Olson, who said, yeah, you really need to recuse yourself on this. Here's where it gets dicey. Whatever services were provided to the construction company from Menards, Joe Moore would get a commission on. And he couldn't give up that commission without those who work for him giving up their commission. So he felt all he could do was abstain. But the implications are being made, as I said, by Guy Zimmer and Andy Nicholson, that he was bowing to pressure from Schmidt to abstain. I'm going to tell you what else Joe Moore told me. He said the pressure that he got was from Walmart to vote. Intense pressure. That unions and other would line up against him. I don't doubt that. Now, he said that pressure backed off. He also says it came from Guy Zimmer and Chris Weary. And I am aware that they were trying to, quote-unquote, find a way where Joe could get out of his conflict problem. In the end, he chose to abstain. I believe everything Joe told me. I have no reason to doubt him. And whatever pressure was put on him was put on those that support the project that wanted him to vote. Now, he insists that Jim Schmidt nor anyone else, you know, in the opposition side put any pressure on him. We had a candid conversation. I have absolutely no reason to doubt that, to doubt what he's saying. None at all. His concern, quite frankly, was he did not want to put his employer in a bad spot. Now, there was also talk, apparently, of the construction company just saying, well, we won't use Menards for this store. Well, that apparently wasn't an option. I think this is a legitimate conflict. And I think he did the right thing. And you do have to bear in mind, the only thing this would have changed was really nothing. I mean, it would have made it 6-6, and it might have put Jim Schmidt in a politically uncomfortable position, but at the end of the day, it would still fail. And it appears now, even if Danziger or Nenig had flipped and voted for the store on a 7-5 vote, Jim Schmidt still would have vetoed this and likely would not have been overridden. It simply wasn't going to happen. So conspiracy theories about Joe Moore somehow being knuckled under, I don't believe are true. I think the conflict is legitimate. And I think Andy Nicholson and Guy Zimmer are chasing ghosts. And I have one, and again, this is not, I'm not going to slam Guy, but I just have a question. Guy, you supported this and you were really quiet publicly until the actual vote, which is un-Guy-like. I will argue that Guy has been un-Guy-like since he's returned to the council. That he's been, you know, I'm not saying behind the scenes, but publicly, uncharacteristically quiet compared to the way that he had been in his long previous tenure on the council. That's just my perception. Neither here nor there, I'm just throwing it out there. This, to worry about why Joe Moore didn't vote, I think is a waste of time. As I said yesterday, moving forward, now you have to hold accountable those who killed this. And by the way, starting today, we're starting something. We are going to have a running count until there is and be very clear on this, a private sector development for the property that Walmart would have developed. And by the way, I am of the belief that the Walmart thing is dead. I know they might come back with something. I think it's dead. So unless Walmart comes back with something revamped or there's another private sector development down there, because if Jim Schmidt and those six on the council, we have a big empty downtown. And we're going to tick off the days until there is a private sector development. And if it's a public sector development with a lot of money, public money thrown in, then it's just going to be the greatest I told you so moment on this show ever. So it's the big empty downtown day one. And day two and day three until day whatever. To remind you of what they did or didn't do. Then there's this, and I didn't get to this when we were discussing Officer Derek Wicklund being cleared by a Green Bay police investigation, and again, a review of that investigation by the State Department of Justice, which found no issues with it. I don't think Derek Wicklund comes out looking like a Boy Scout, but I do think that him being cleared of any wrongdoing is justified based on all of the evidence that the investigation turned up. But there are those who just say cops protecting one of their own, just ignoring the evidence, and on and on. I received an email prior to this. Actually, I received this Monday evening. It will be clear to you that it is someone from within the Green Bay Police Department. And I will tell you that I can verify this is someone within the Green Bay Police Department. He addresses a couple of things. One is that Derek Wicklund had evidence marijuana in his locker, and his excuse for it, that he was helping a canine officer train, and that he broke into the evidence area. Here's what this person within the police department said about Derek Wicklund. Regarding the Wicklund drugs and the locker thing, that thing really has been blown out of proportion. To a normal person, I can see why it sounds wrong. But if you know Derek, you know he's one of those cops that like to dig into everything, make arrest after arrest. He's a guy that when they ask for help in training the canines, he'll jump in and help. Part of the training might be hiding drugs or the officer hiding themselves. If a canine wants to do a quick training, Derek can go hide the drugs and get the training going without having the canine officer have set it up. Not one part of me thinks there was any ill intent on Derek's behalf. I don't know him, so I can't be that confident. The evidence room incident, I can't defend that. I would say we're not perfect and can make mistakes. That was a huge mistake. I know you've made mistakes, and I've made more than enough. Yes, I've had. I have, and I've made big ones. I admit that. But if you want 10 cops taking the bad guys out of your neighborhood, you want 10 Derricks. Okay, now, that may be true. I think Derek Wicklund is an effective police officer. And I suspect that he's the type of officer that other officers in a heartbeat would want to have their back. That doesn't mean that his tactics and techniques are always up to par. I think what this has illustrated is there are some failings that and the things that we've learned about his record previous to this that he needs to deal with. I spoke with someone else in law enforcement who is not a member of the Green Bay Police Department, who, you know, their take from afar is he's kind of a cowboy. That is the appearance that's given here. I don't know that, but I'm just saying that is the appearance that's given here. And I can understand where any officer would want 10 Derricks out there. That doesn't mean, as I said, that my perception is wrong, that he lives very close to the line which increases his chances of crossing it. I do not believe that happened this time in terms of anything inappropriate or anything that leads to police misconduct. I do not believe that happened. But I also agree with the police department's own finding in this that he could have handled himself better. I think that tends to be a general truism about Derek Wicklin. And that if he doesn't take a step back from the line, he's going to find himself in the limelight, the harsh glare of it, again. Speaking of harsh glare, we're going to turn to the governor's race at 9:06. It's 8:56.